Welcome back to Search the Scriptures. Great to be back with all of our listeners again today. This is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ right here in Omaha, Nebraska. If you're in the area, we encourage you to come and be with us in person. Check us out, study God's Word with us, worship God with us, grow spiritually with us at the Sunny Slope Church of Christ. We're located at 3606 North 108th Street, right here in Omaha, 3606 North 108th Street. Bible classes begin Sunday morning at 9:30, followed by worship at 10:30. Sunday evening, 6 o'clock, we come back together for another period of worship and Bible study. And then on Wednesday evenings, middle of the week, time to get our spiritual batteries recharged, so to speak, we get together each Wednesday evening at 6:30 for midweek Bible classes. You're welcome to any and all of these services, and we hope to see you soon. Many of our radio listeners have come and checked us out, and many have stayed on with us for a long time, and we're thankful for that. It's all to God's glory. We're not here to try to get your wallet. We're here to try to help you get to heaven. We encourage you to go to our website and tell everybody else you can about the radio program and the website. The website is found at churchofchrist.com, churchofchrist.com. Click on the podcast button and sign up for our podcasting. Again, it's free, always will be free. And when you do that, you'll automatically receive to your smartphone or computer or whatever device you choose, you will receive this radio program 5 days a week. So if you can't listen at the times that it's being played each day on the station, you can still listen to it by downloading it from your smart device. And you'll also receive a great deal more Bible teaching material every single day as it comes across and automatically downloads onto your smartphone or computer or whatever device you choose. So take advantage of that. And again, it always will be free. And tell everybody you can about it as well. We're going to get back into our line of thought and study. We're talking about anger. And this is one of the sections that we're covering in this broader spectrum of that I've themed as heart troubles. And again, we're not talking about the physical heart that pumps blood through our circulatory system. We're talking about problems of the heart from a spiritual perspective. And so we've talked about a number of these already, looked at them in some depth and detail, such as laziness. A lot of people might have been surprised when we talked about laziness as being a heart problem, but it is. People who are just habitually lazy. That's their lifestyle. In fact, that's their life. They're lazy. They don't want to work. They want somebody to take care of them. They want to be able to live off of society or maybe off of family, yeah, but they want somebody to provide them with their income and their well-being. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. God said in His Word, if a man does not work, let him not eat. And we need to come to grips with that. We need to take care of ourselves by God's blessings, by working the job that God has prepared us, enabled us, given us the abilities to be able to work, to earn a living for ourselves and our family. But we also talked about some others that people probably would say, yeah, I understand. That is a heart trouble, such as hatred and fear. But we also talked about gossip. And a lot of people would probably say, yeah, I can understand how that is a problem of the heart. Spiritually, gossip. People who gossip habitually, they gossip all the time. And they hurt people in the process, but they also hurt themselves. Because who wants to be around people who are always gossiping? They might start gossiping about something they heard you say while you were with them. And so it hurts them, but it also hurts a lot of other people, potentially. In this particular section, we're talking about anger. And anger really contributes to hatred, because anger is the seedbed from which hatred grows. And hatred, when it is left uncontrolled, when it is left to abide within our hearts, hatred then can become violent and even to the point of murder. Well, but it starts with anger. It starts with anger. So we've been talking about anger. We've been talking about anger, the dangers of anger. We've been talking about how anger clouds our vision when we're trying to think about something that we're dealing with or something that has happened, or how do I respond to this or that or this person or that person. Anger clouds our vision. It's like trying to read a book in fine print when our glasses are all smeared and we can barely see through them. And that's what anger does to us when we're trying to think and process some situation rationally. It clouds our vision. It makes it difficult for us to think clearly and really see whatever it is that we're trying to deal with clearly. Anger is repeatedly condemned in God's Word. Now, we looked at a whole bunch of scriptures from the book of Proverbs in our last section of this study, talking about the dangers of anger. And we noted those, there are repeated in God's Word, how anger left uncontrolled, left to abide within our heart and grow and fester, how it can cause all kinds of problems. We need to understand that anger, uncontrolled anger, is repeatedly condemned in God's Word. If no other danger could be seen in anger, the fact that it is repeatedly condemned in God's Word should sound a blaring warning signal. Have you been around some particular area where they had fire alarms posted around or through neighborhoods within a city? And so there's a fire, or maybe they're weather alert sirens, and maybe there's a tornado that's been spotted off in the distance, and all of a sudden the sirens start blaring. Well, you understand what warning signals can sound like. The fact that God's Word, and so this is God communicating this to us through His Word, the Bible, the Scriptures, the fact that God's Word condemns anger, uncontrolled anger, anger that we've allowed to abide within our heart, to fester and get worse, the fact that it is condemned in Scripture should sound a blaring warning signal to us. The fact that anger is condemned identifies it as sin. Because, see, righteous living is not condemned as sin. But anything that is condemned as sin in the Scriptures is identified as something against God's will. Anger is identified, that is, uncontrolled anger, it is identified as sin in the Scriptures, repeatedly. Notice the obvious contrast from goodness with which the wise man portrays anger in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 23. He wrote, "The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath." What is wrath? Anger. Proverbs 11:23. Someone who gives himself over to anger can find himself more and more to be a person of anger. And anger ultimately bears consequences. Now think about that. Now we've asked before, do you want to be around an angry person? A person who's always angry? Or becomes angry at the drop of a hat or at the drop of a word from somebody? Their instant natural reaction is anger, virtually no matter what the situation might hold. They're just an angry person. You don't like to be around such a person because that person presents danger. You don't know, is he going to become angry with me or is she going to become angry with me because of something they hear me say? And you can have absolutely no intention. In fact, you can say something that absolutely is inconsequential. It's you know, a positive kind of statement or maybe just a joke or whatever, but they become angry quickly because they take it wrong. Again, the fact that anger is condemned in Scripture by God identifies it as being sinful. So someone who gives himself over to anger can find himself more and more to become a person of anger or an angry person. And anger ultimately bears consequences. In Proverbs 19 and verse 19, we read this, "A man of great wrath will suffer punishment, if you rescue him, you will have to do it again." Now, a person who cannot control his anger, and I'm not talking about just in one given situation. I'm talking about it's part of his nature. It's the way he responds on an ongoing basis to different stimuli in his life. Somebody says something, he takes it wrong, he becomes angry. Somebody does something, he takes it wrong, he becomes angry. Somebody simply talks about somebody else or some situation somewhere, he becomes angry over it. He just becomes angry all the time. It's his natural response emotionally to all kinds of situations, all kinds of stimuli. And so what does the wise man say here? A man of great wrath will suffer punishment. For if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. In other words, he's going to continually suffer the consequences of his anger. I've told the story a number of times in trying to teach on this general kind of topic. I remember watching on television, this has been many years ago now, a man who is in jail, and he was being interviewed by a reporter. He was in jail because a young couple, I got the impression it was a fairly young couple, and I think he was driving home from work himself, and I believe the young couple driving along in a van cut him off or something. Now, that happens. I understand the natural instinctive reaction is not just upset, but it can be anger. But they started in a rolling confrontation, driving down the road. He was speeding up. They were speeding up. They were, I think, making hand gestures toward one another. He was angry. They were probably angry too, or at least they were, you know, just kind of instigating it to get worse and worse. And ultimately, somewhere along the line, he said the woman picked up something that looked like a rifle to him and pointed it. She was riding in the passenger seat of the van, and she pointed it at him. At him, I believe the window was still up, but she pointed it at him. And so he had a gun in the car. He reached over and got his gun and started shooting into that van. Killed them both. And he ended up in jail. Now, all you'd have to do is hear that story, and you would say, you ended up in jail because you did not control your anger. You let your anger control you, and you could not let the situation go. You were trying to run them down, catch up to them, and what if you could have pulled them over? Were you going to pull the guy out of the driver's side of the van and beat him up or something? What good would that have done? Okay, they cut you off. Are you alive? Did you have an accident? Yeah, I'm alive. No, I didn't have an accident. Did they scratch your car? No, they didn't scratch my car. But they could have. Well, okay. What good would you running them down out of anger and your anger getting hotter and hotter, and now you've killed both of them and you're in jail for a long time? And the reporter asks the man, if you could go back and change things, would you change anything? And I was amazed at his response. He said, maybe take a different way home? But the fact, he showed no remorse. He showed no indication that he thought what he had done, basically, was stupid, was wrong. In running down those folks because of what they had done to him, by cutting him off, I believe it was, and then ultimately that building and progressing and ultimately coming to the point where he shot them dead and that he ended up in jail. So his family is without him. He's in jail for a long period of time, and the best he could come up with in answer to the question, if you could go back and change things, would you change things? Maybe take a different way home? But the idea that he chased them down and shot them did not seem to be a point of repentance for him, or even of admission, I was really stupid. I should not have done that. I should have controlled my anger. I should have let it go. Well, you see what can happen with anger uncontrolled. A man of great wrath will suffer punishment. For if you rescue him, you'll have to do it again. In other words, if he can't control his anger, he's going to suffer the consequences of not controlling his anger over and over and over again. Somewhere along the line, you ought to learn. Our Lord warned that anger unresolved can put a person in danger of the judgment. We read this, "You have heard that it was said of those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause will be in danger of the judgment." And you can read this in the text from Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. Whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Have you thought about the ultimate self-destruction of anger? The Apostle Paul put it very pointedly in Apostle John put it very pointedly in 1 John 3 and verse 15. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Where does hatred come from again? Anger. Anger is the seedbed for hatred. The Apostle Paul warned the congregation at Corinth to be on guard against, among other sins, allowing anger, or wrath as it's translated, to have place in their lives. He wrote, "For I fear lest when I come, you shall not find me as I wish, and that I shall find you, that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions." What are contentions? Anger's related there, correct? Jealousies, anger's related. Outbursts of wrath, that's anger. Selfish ambitions, backbitings, anger related to that again. Whisperings, conceits, tumults, anger, again, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. So he's telling the Christians in the congregation at Corinth, you need to correct some bad behavior within some of your personal lives in the congregation. You need to set aside anger and all of these other things that he listed. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul included anger, outbursts of wrath, with the works of the flesh that will keep a person out of heaven. He wrote, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred," again, the result of anger, uncontrolled, "contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath," that's anger again, out of control, "selfish ambitions, dissensions," anger related to that, "heresies, envy, murders," anger certainly is at the root of a whole lot of murders, "drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." In other words, they're not going to be in heaven. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. In writing to the Ephesians, Paul reminded them how, before they had become Christians, they had been dead in trespasses and sins. And one particular sin of which he reminded them that they had been guilty of was being children of wrath. Again, angry folk. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. He warned the Colossians, and again, in all these cases, we're talking about Christians. He warned the Colossians of God's coming judgment upon those who remained in sin. And among the sins that he enumerated in that particular text were anger, wrath, and malice. Colossians 3, verses 5 through 10. And all of those are related. And notice anger first. You see, we need to recognize natural dangers around us. Many, many, many years ago, I used to fish a lot. And I did not have the money to afford a boat, and I did not know too many people who would go out in boats fishing, and mostly I'd just go to a river or to a lake or to a pond, and I'd just fish off the bank. Now, if I walked along and I saw a snake, a big snake, curled up on the bank where I was about to cast off and you know, throw my line into the water. Yeah. In some cases, I might not know whether that was a poisonous snake or not, but I'd see that, and I'd be cautious, and I'd think, you know, he's already got that spot. And I'd leave him alone. I'd go find another place to fish. You see, we need to exercise caution. We need to recognize potential danger. Remember what the Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Thessalonians? Abstain from all appearance of evil. He didn't say just make sure you stay out of the evil practice. He said you stay away from even where evil is being practiced. You just stay away from the appearance of evil. And then you're not going to find yourself all of a sudden having to repent of practicing the evil that is going on in that particular location, in that particular environment. We need to recognize potential danger and take the proper precautions to avoid it. And when we recognize that I'm feeling anger building within me, we need to take the proper steps to walk away from that situation, whatever it might be. And we need to control that anger and not let it build and not let it take us over in our behavior as a result. Anger can destroy. It does destroy. Anger can kill, and it does kill. Anger can ruin relationships. Anger can ruin lives. Anything that potentially dangerous, we need to recognize as being that potentially dangerous, and we need to stay away from it and keep it under control. We'll move a little further next time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us, and help us, Father, to embody the love from you in our hearts and our lives. Help us to be examples of love, godly love, to the people around us, and thereby avoid the danger of letting anger abide within our hearts and build within our hearts. Help us to put it away and overcome that heart problem. Please forgive us, gracious Father, and hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.